have three sets of notes.
Somewhere along the line, I think something got screwed up in the passing out. One set should be Christ as seen in the tabernacle. Another set should be Christ as seen in the sacrifices. And the third set is Christ as seen in the feasts. Okay.
So we got all three, but I've got a whole bunch of other things. Oh, that's mine.
I have no idea what those are. Well, I've got, tonight we're doing the tabernacle, so here's the tabernacle.
Does anybody else need one?
For whatever reason, we're out of the feasts. I don't know why. We have this many of these and no feasts because I made the same set of amount of copies.
Another of the tabernacle.
So somebody's got a whole slew of feasts. I knew I should have passed them out one at a time. So who's got a whole slew of feasts? Who's got sacrifices? Never mind. Who needs tabernacle? Need tabernacle? Well, that's the sacrifices. So I'll have to make more feasts. Yeah, good. Any more tabernacles?
What are we doing tonight?
Tabernacle.
One more tabernacle.
Okay, I got two tabernacles, going once, going twice. It's a race. Who's going to take them?
All right.
No more tabernacles.
Do we have any bidders here?
They're also in a box folder on the web. If you want to download them, you can do that. I can give you the address for that afterwards. So, anyway, tonight we're going to look at the tabernacle. We're not going to look at any pictures in the tabernacle tonight. We're just looking at the tabernacle. Next week we'll look at some pictures in the tabernacle. The following week we'll look at the sacrifices and feasts, and just the sacrifices and feasts. And then the fourth week we'll look at some pictures in the sacrifices and feasts. Okay. So tonight is just what the Old Testament says about the tabernacle. Here's a picture of the tabernacle. It is not by any means accurate. And as we go through this, I hope you can find the inaccuracies. It's very disappointing. I mean, it's a really good illustration, but for one, it's all backwards. But I don't know what the guy was thinking. Anyway, tabernacle. Exodus 25. Exodus 25 and Exodus 36 gives us the contribution for the tabernacle. So the first seven verses of Exodus 25, start in verse 3, they were to take a contribution of gold, silver, bronze, blue, purple, scarlet material, fine linen, goat hair, ram skins dyed red, porpoise skins, or badger skins, depending on your translation, acacia wood, oil, spices, incense, onyx stones, setting stones for the ephod and the breastpiece, and we're not going to go into the priest's garments at all. So, the tabernacle. The first thing, look at verses 8 and 9 of chapter 25. Let them construct a sanctuary for me, that I may dwell among them. So the point of the tabernacle was for God to dwell among the people of Israel. And so wherever this tabernacle went, God went, or vice versa. Verse 9, he says, according to all that I am going to show you as the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all its furniture, just so you shall construct it. And he says that a number of times. You construct it exactly as I've told you. You don't get to take license and decorate the walls like you want to. You do this exactly as I've told you to do it. Now, why did he tell him to do that?
Because it's a pattern of the heavenly.
Right. It's a pattern. It's a copy. If you look over at Hebrews chapter 9, verse 23, it was necessary for the copies, that's this thing, of the things in the heavens to be cleansed with these. Verse 24, Christ did not enter a holy place made with hands, a mere copy of the true one, but into heaven itself now to appear in the presence of God for us. This is just a copy. The original is in heaven. And if you go through Revelation, you can see a lot of these structures in heaven. You've got the altar of burnt offering. You've got the altar of incense. You've got the ark. It's in heaven. So this is a copy. And so Moses is told on a number of occasions, you make this exactly like I've told you. You don't get to take license here. You don't get to embellish it because you think it's a little drab. This is a copy. All right? So the tabernacle tent. So this thing right here, there's you've got this structure, and there's a tent, there's a covering over it. And the covering had what they called curtains. I don't know if I would call them curtains, because we think of curtains as something you open and close. But these are curtains, and unfortunately, you don't get to see how they're connected. They weren't a solid piece. So there was an innermost curtain, and here's one of the problems. The innermost curtain was made of fine twisted linen, blue, purple, scarlet material with cherubim. This is just plain old red. Okay, so there's one error. So the innermost curtain that only the priest would see was blue, purple, scarlet, and was embroidered with cherubim. On top of that was another covering made of goat's hair. On top of that, another covering made of ram skins dyed red. And then on top of that, another covering made of porpoise skins, or, like I said, depending on your translation, badger skins. So there were four coverings on the tabernacle. The innermost one only the priest saw. The middle two, no one saw. So I don't know why they needed to be dyed red, because nobody ever saw them. And the outer one was just drab gray. So if you were looking from a hillside down on the tabernacle, all you'd see is this drab gray covering over this box. And that would be it. Apart from the pillar of fire coming up from the corner of it. But so that was the covering, all right? Then you've got boards and sockets and bars. And here are the boards. And underneath the boards are these. So the boards are acacia wood overlaid with gold. And they're 10 cubits by 1.5 cubits. So each of these boards is 15 feet high by 2 feet 3 inches wide. So 15 feet, I mean, this thing stood pretty high. These things are all overlaid with gold. You've got these sockets on the bottom here. You can see them. And they're made of silver. And then you've got bars. These bars right here. And here's another place where they screwed up. Go over to Exodus 26. Exodus 26:26. You shall make bars of acacia wood, 5 for the boards on one side of the tabernacle, 5 for boards on the other side of the tabernacle, 5 bars for the boards on the side of the tabernacle for the rear side to the west. Verse 26, the middle bar in the center shall pass through from end to end. So there are 5 bars, but only one goes from end to end. All right? So this middle bar would pass all the way through. This would be a bar goes from end to the middle. This bar goes from end to the middle. This bar goes from end to the middle. That bar goes from end to the middle. Those are your 5 bars. This has got them. So basically you have 3 rows. The top 2 and the bottom 2 go from end to the middle. The middle one goes from end to end. That's got 5 rows. It should only have 3. Okay, so even though it looks cool, not accurate. All right. And then the pillar, or the veil. Now, the veil is this curtain, what we would call a curtain right here. Okay? And it's the innermost curtain. So the tabernacle was divided into 2 rooms. This outer room was called what? The holy place. This inner room was the holy of holies. Okay? And this veil separated the 2. Okay? And it was made of fine twisted linen, blue, purple, scarlet material with cherubim. So this veil would have looked identical to the ceiling. It's not red. There would be 4 pillars. This has no pillars. Don't ask me why. But there'd be 4 pillars. And in fact, in your notes, on page 3, I've given you a diagram of the placement of these things. So you got the 4 pillars there. And they're overlaid with gold as well. They would also have sockets of silver, and they'd have hooks of gold on the top where they would attach the veil. Okay? And when we get into the feasts, this veil separating the Holy of Holies from the holy place was only opened once a year. What day? Day of Atonement. Okay? So nobody ever went into the Holy of Holies except the high priest once a year, actually one day a year. He actually went in there 3 times, but only on that day. The screen, this would be the screen, this curtain in the front. And the screen was made of fine twisted linen, blue, purple, scarlet material, lacking what? No cherubim. This had cherubim embroidered into it. The ceiling had cherubim. This did not. So this is, I suppose, kind of close. Closer. It had five pillars. So one, two, three, four, five. Okay, we got that one right. And sockets of bronze. Okay. And the hooks on the top. All right, so that gives us the structure of the tabernacle. Now, in the tabernacle, there were four furnishings. The table of showbread. Acacia wood overlaid with gold. I've given you some dimensions. It was 2 cubits long, 1 cubit wide, and 1.5 cubits high. In other words, this thing is 3 feet long, 1.5 feet wide, and it's only 2 feet 3 inches high. This thing is only about this high. We get this idea that the table of showbread was table height. It wasn't. It was actually quite low to the ground, which seems odd to me, but this is actually fairly close to the way it should be. So that would be the table of showbread. And one thing that this whole thing should be tipped this way. Usually when we have a diagram, north is up, east is to the right. The tabernacle always opened east. So this is all backwards. You know, why they did it that way, I have no idea. But so if you walked into the tabernacle, the table of showbread would always be to your right. On the other side, then the table of showbread, there was bread on the table, 2 rows, 6 loaves. The bread was changed out every Sabbath. So the bread would sit on a table for a week, and then it would get changed out and it would go to the priest. The lampstand, that would be this thing. Single piece of hammered work, 7 branches, 3 branches on each side of a central branch. One of the interesting things about the lampstand is no dimensions are given for it. So I'm not exactly sure. Maybe this is one of those things where Moses got to, okay, make it as high as you want. But there's no dimensions. He's not told how tall to make it, how wide to make it. He's given some specific instructions as to what goes with it. You know, there has to be certain little almond blossoms and a bulb and a flower and whatnot, but no dimensions. He's given a talent of gold, make the lampstand. And then you've got the altar of incense. So right in front of the veil is this altar. And the altar of incense, acacia wood overlaid with gold, 1 cubit long, 1 cubit wide, 2 cubits high. And then that's where they would burn their incense. And I've given you some equal parts of certain spices that were burned on there. Probably the most important furnishing in the tabernacle was the ark. And that was in the holy place, or holy of holies. And again, only the high priest went in there, only one day of year. Apart from him, no one was ever supposed to see that piece of furnishing. Now, there were sometimes in their history when that wasn't true. Can you give me an example of one? David never went in there. The Philistines. When the Philistines captured the ark, I don't know what was Eli was thinking. Oh, sure, send the ark. The Philistines captured it. So they saw it. And yeah, they had a few issues with mice and other things, but apart from them, nobody was ever supposed to see that. So even when they disassembled this, the priests would take this veil down and actually walk over and cover this thing up so nobody would ever see it. And then when they set the tabernacle back up, they'd put it inside and then uncover it and hang the curtain back up. Nobody ever saw it. So the ark was acacia wood overlaid with gold. On top of the ark, so the ark is just a box. And I'm not exactly sure that I would agree with that diagram, but the ark is a box. On top of the box is the mercy seat. And the mercy seat was all gold. And on the ends of the mercy seat were two cherubim. So in your little diagram, those are the two little smiley faces staring at each other. What was the point? What took place on the mercy seat?
Blood sprinkled on.
Okay, the blood was sprinkled on the mercy seat on the Day of Atonement. The mercy seat was also the place where God met with the people of Israel. It was from the mercy seat that the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire came up. Inside the ark were placed the two tablets of the law, Aaron's rod which budded, and a jar of manna. At some point, if you take a look at 1 Kings 8, at some point in their history, somebody went into the ark and pilfered. First Kings 8, verse 9. And this is when Solomon brings the ark into the temple. There was nothing in the ark except the two tablets of stone which Moses put there at Horeb. So at some point, Aaron's rod and the jar of manna were removed. We don't know when. Maybe the Philistines took it. I don't know. So I've given you a diagram, the placement of things. The tabernacle was always situated with its door opening to the east. Yes?
You mentioned with Eli, when they fought the Philistines, they brought the ark with them. Is that, I'm just trying to recall, is that the only time they brought the ark into battle?
Well, that's the only time they brought the ark into battle when they weren't supposed to.
Yeah, because I remember, I think there was some other...
Yeah, with Joshua, Joshua was told to take the ark and march around Jericho.
Yeah, because I was going to say there's several...
Yeah, but that was...
But you're saying Eli just...
Yeah, Eli, go ahead, take the ark. Yeah, and in fact, with Joshua, I think the only time the ark ever went into battle was at Jericho. I don't think it ever went into battle any other time. So everything in the tabernacle, like I said, it always faced east. On your right was the table of showbread. On your left was... the lampstand. Right in front of you would be the altar of burnt, or the altar of incense, and then behind that, the veil.
So Jeff, on this diagram, so where's the entrance? On the right?
The entrance would be on the right, by these five pillars. So this would be the entrance, of the tabernacle. And when we get into the Christological pictures, I think there's a good reason for that as well. So that's the tabernacle. Now, the courtyard, okay, the courtyard had hangings, which would be all of these, and the pillars, and the sockets, and the hooks, the bands, the board, the pegs, the tools, and I've given you different things for them. The total, the hangings totaled 150 feet. So this was 150 feet by 75 feet. So it was a fairly big place. They were 7 feet, 6 inches tall. Okay, so this is 15 feet. This is half of that. So the tabernacle always stood above the courtyard. You could always see the tabernacle. And all you would see would be this drab gray structure. That's all you would see. You'd never see the gold or anything from the outside. From the inside, the walls are all gold, reflecting the light. The ceiling would be the blue, the purple, the scarlet, the cherubim. But from the outside, just be this drab gray box. The gate, so this gate right here, and I don't think the gate is actually in line with the rest. I think it's offset a little bit so that you can come in through the ends, but that's an opinion. Fine twisted linen, blue, purple, scarlet. Just this gate and this curtain would have looked the same. So that's this structure. Then the bronze altar, made of acacia wood overlaid with bronze, 5 cubits long by 7 feet, 6 inches by 7 feet, 6 inches by 4 feet, 6 inches. So it's square. Does that look square to you? So it's supposed to be square. And there were bronze horns. So these little things here. And in fact, this altar had little horns sticking out the edges as well. And inside here, and if you look really close, you can probably see it. There's a grating that goes. So you had this 4 foot high hollow box, and halfway up would be a bronze grate. So the wood would be burned underneath, the sacrifices would be burned on top. And then you have the laver, which is this structure right there. And I gave you a diagram of all of this as well on page 5. What's interesting about the laver is what it was made out of. It's bronze, but Moses makes a point of saying that it's bronze. The bronze came from the mirrors of the women who served at the tabernacle. They didn't have glass back then, so they had highly polished bronze. So this thing would be very reflective. And then you've got the picture of that on page 5. So page 6, the tabernacle is erected, and the placement of the camps. And I think the placement of the camps is kind of important as well. If you take this and flip it around, the way it's supposed to be. The camps are in the right place. It's just that everything is backwards. So I've given you a diagram of the placement of the camps. Right around the inner perimeter were the Levites. So on the east would be Moses, if we were to flip that upside down, Moses, Aaron, and his sons, the priests. All right? Don't get the priests and the Levites confused. Every priest was a Levite, but not every Levite was a priest. Okay, so who were the priests? The sons of Aaron. Okay, Aaron was a son of Kohath. The sons of Aaron were the priests. So all of the priests were Levites and Kohathites, but not every Levite and Kohathite was a priest. All right, so when it talks about, especially in the New Testament, the priests and the Levites, they're related, but they're not the same thing. The priests would be the ones who actually did the work in here. The high priest would be the guy who did the work in here once a year. Now the priests, the normal run-of-the-mill priests, would get to go into the holy place, light the lamps, change out the showbread. The high priest got into the holy of holies. All your priests would do your sacrifices out here. There were rare occasions when Levites, non-priests, actually got the help out here as well. There were some Passovers when they just didn't have enough priests or the priests weren't clean, so the Levites actually had to come in and help with the slaying of the animals, but the priests would offer them on the altar. Normally, Levites in general would not be in here. This would be for the priest. All right? So your Levites would be around the perimeter. On the north side would be Merari. On the west side would be Gershon. On the south side would be Kohath. And each of those descendants of Levi had specific tasks with regard to the tabernacle. The Kohathites were in charge of carrying the furnishings. And they had to be carried by the men. I would hate to carry this thing. The priests would carry the ark. The other furnishings would be carried by Kohathites. Merari and Gershon would carry the tabernacle tent and boards and the courtyard and whatnot. But they got to carry them on carts. They were lucky. The tribes were situated outside of the Levites. The tribe facing east was Judah. And then Zebulun and Issachar, and I've given you the other ones, but and next week when we get into the Christological pictures, I think there's a significance why Judah is on the east. And we'll look at that when we get there. Then I've mentioned some names for the tabernacle. It's called sanctuary, tabernacle, tent, tent of meeting, tabernacle of testimony. That's what was going on in the wilderness. And so whenever, in fact, if you take a look at the last chapter of Exodus, The tabernacle's completed in chapter 38. In chapter 40, it's set up. Chapter 40, verse 34. So once the tabernacle was set up, then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Moses was not able to enter the tent of meeting because the cloud had settled on it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Throughout all their journeys, whenever the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the sons of Israel would set out. So during the day, there would always be a cloud hanging over the top. At night, there'd be a pillar of fire. Whenever that cloud was lifted up, they knew what they had to do. Everything had to come down. If the cloud was not taken up, then they didn't set out until the day when it was taken up. For throughout all their journeys, the cloud of the Lord was on the tabernacle by day. There was a pillar of fire in it by night in the sight of all the house of Israel. And when the tabernacle when the cloud was lifted up and the tabernacle was disassembled, they would set out in a very specific order. They didn't just, we're leaving, and then just head out willy-nilly. They went out in a specific order. Certain tribes, the priests, the tabernacle, so that when they got to the next camp, this thing was set up. The priest would come in, put the ark in, everything was ready to go for the next sacrifice. So, any questions? I know it's a lot.
I got a question. It says that Moses wasn't able to enter the tent of meeting because the cloud had settled on it. But you said there were times when the priests were in switching out the bread and that type of thing. So was the cloud not over the tabernacle at all times?
Well, the cloud was over at all times. But when it was set up, this whole room was filled with the cloud. And because of that, he couldn't enter. The same thing was true when Solomon set up the temple. The cloud filled the entire temple, and nobody could enter.
Well, how would they switch the bread out once a week then?
It only filled this structure when it was set up. Otherwise, there was just the cloud hanging above it. So it didn't fill it.
Oh, I see.
Hmm?
It was just temporary.
It was a temporary thing when it filled the entire tabernacle, or in Solomon's case, it filled the temple. Normally, it would just be the pillar hanging above the Holy of Holies.
So, there's a description of Moses in his tent meeting with the Lord, isn't there? And is that a different...
Well, prior to this, there was another tent of meeting that Moses met with the Lord. Once this was set up, this became the tent of meeting. And later on, when you, toward the end, I think, of Deuteronomy, it talks about the book of the law. The book of the law was stored in the tabernacle. It just wasn't in the Holy of Holies.
So the previous one was where Joshua would stay there, Moses would go in, Moses would
yes.
go in, and Joshua would stay.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So it was just like a smaller tent.
Yep. Yep. The ark contained the two tablets of stone, but there was a book of the law, what we would call Genesis to Deuteronomy, that was stored in the tabernacle, probably, propped against the altar of incense. That was ready reference in case somebody... Because if it was stuck in here, you got a question, you only get to go in there once a year, and it's not to look at a book. So they would have kept the book of the law somewhere inside the holy place. question.
I have one question or a comment. We were talking about the priest, you know, one year or something. Was it that Zechariah was a priest?
Zechariah was, he was a priest. He wasn't a high priest.
Well, he was a priest.
Yes.
That would have been John the Baptist's father.
Mm-hmm.
It was the line of Aaron.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah, and in fact, by the time you got to David, you had so many priests.
Oh, okay.
That David actually divided them into, I think it was 34 divisions. Uh-huh. And each division had a certain month or so that they would serve. But there were so many priests within each division that it got to the point where they had to cast lots to see who was going to do what. And so for John the Baptist's father, Zacharias, he was in one division, but there were probably hundreds, if not thousands, of priests in that division. And so they cast lots, and he got the lot to go into the temple and burn incense. And then he got an eyeful.
Question. Yep. If you were born under the line of Aaron as a priest, did you have to serve as a priest?
I believe you did. I don't think you had a choice in the matter.
So it's hard to imagine Caiaphas would be the one on the day of atonement. Is that?
Yeah, well, by the time you get to Annas and Caiaphas, you had so much Roman influence in the priesthood, it was getting to the point where you were buying and selling a priestly position. I mean, Caiaphas and Annas were pretty much under the thumb of Rome. They were turncoats.
But would he have been officially the one to...
Officially, yes.
Atonement, yep. He would be...
Yep. Yeah, and what was interesting, the priestly line, by the time you got to the time of Christ, that line was mostly Sadducee. They didn't believe in a resurrection. They didn't believe in angels. Huh. Yeah, so I'm not even sure why they were doing what they were doing.
Oh, it's sad.
Yeah.
How often was the incense burnt?
The incense was burned, I believe, every time you trim the lamps. I'd have to look that up.
And when would you trim the lamps? Every day?
Every evening, yep.
Every...
Yeah, that you'd light the lamps for the night. So, yeah, I believe every morning you would burn, when the lamps were trimmed in the morning and in the evening, incense was burned. But I will need to check that. Yes.
Dumb question, but the showbread, was that 12 loaves?
12 loaves, yes, one for each tribe. Yeah, it's got, well, I kind of find that amusing. It says two rows of six. This has two columns of six, but all right, whatever.
Must be a paraphrase.
I guess, yeah.
What about, look, we some of us, we were studying the kings of Judah, and we're almost done with it all, but we're down to Josiah, and they found the Book of the Law. How long was the Book of the Law missing, or whatever?
Well, Josiah would have been... Josiah would have been the last good king of Judah. And there were only eight good kings. So it was probably missing because Josiah's father was Amon. His grandfather was Manasseh. His great-grandfather was Hezekiah. Probably was around during Hezekiah's time. But Manasseh reigned 55 years. Ammon only reigned a very short period of time. So, you know, it was gone for decades. Yeah, they misplaced it. Well, Manasseh basically shut down the temple.
Jeff, when they came into the land, did they set this up? Is it in Shiloh? Is that correct? Is this where Samuel serves?
Yeah,
boy.
Yeah, eventually it was set up in Shiloh.
Okay.
Yeah. And in fact, when they first came into the land, it was set up in Gilgal, which is just pretty close to Jericho. And eventually it was set up in Shiloh. And believe it or not, the tabernacle was in Shiloh longer than the temple was in Jerusalem.
I just remember it said that the light in the temple was about to go out.
Yeah.
And then that's when Samuel...
Yeah, and in Samuel's time, this was called the temple.
Okay.
We think of the temple as what Solomon built, but in Samuel's day, this was the temple. And by the time of Samuel, this had already been in Shiloh for a couple hundred years.
So before the tabernacle, and they had the high places, were all of them necessarily evil, or were they just spots where they would offer worship?
Well, they didn't have high places before the tabernacle. They had high places after the tabernacle. The tabernacle was built within a year of them leaving Egypt.
Before they entered.
Yeah. So they...
So actually what I'm thinking is before Solomon's temple, there were high places of worship.
In addition to this.
That's what I'm... Okay. So, but yet at times in the scriptures, it seems like the Lord sort of blesses those high places. I mean, it seems like some are kind of favorable. I've never understood that.
Well, I think the Lord was being gracious.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, making some concessions.
Yeah. And after Solomon built the temple, and Jeroboam comes up with his excuse, you know, and he makes his two high places in Dan and Bethel, then that blessing stopped. So next week we'll look at some of the pictures. Christological pictures, and I hesitate to use the word type, because I don't think there are as many types as people think there are.
Well, thank you, Jeff.